Welcome to the HBO's podcast, where we put the hoe in Hollywood. We're your hosts, Maddie and Sam, here to discuss trending pop culture, TV, and movies.
Welcome back, everybody. We're your hosts, Sam and Maddie, HBO
hosts.
Hello. Today we are talking about the season finale, House of the Dragon, season 2, episode 8, called The Queen Whoever Was. Before we get into it, as Aemond becomes more volatile, Laris plots an escape while Rhaenyra looks to press her advantage. That's pretty much exactly what happened this episode. So,
not much more. Yes. Not sure. Yeah. Okay, first of all, spoilers. Get out of here if you didn't watch it. Also, Game of Thrones, maybe, because we reference it all the time. And last season, you know, just skedaddle. Get out of here. Don't get it. And then come back. Anyhow, yeah, overall thoughts, man. What are yours? I mean, I know you have a bit to say. I have some things to say.
This felt like what should have been episode 7, it feels.
Speak.
It feels like it should have been the penultimate, and then the finale should have just rocked our faces.
Yep.
I was genuinely nervous on video with you watching it live, cuddling my teddy bear, because I was like, at any point one of my favorite characters is definitely gonna die, and nothing fucking happened, so it felt like anxiety inducing for no reason. And now we have to wait 2 more years, and my official name today is Blue Ball Summer.
No, you're not wrong. I agree with that. Welcome, Blue Ball Summer. I'm so sorry that we have to do this again. I honestly felt the same way. Although I really liked the episode, I'm not going to sit here and say that I hated it. I definitely enjoyed it, but I was a little underwhelmed, to be honest. At the end, I was just like, oh, there's no like bang, you know, there's no kapoom, kapow. Like, I needed that. I needed like a little fireworks, and obviously we can see that it's setting up for like crazy, but again, we have to wait 2 more years. Hopefully these people don't go on strike again.
Oh my god,
god willing.
Oh, yeah, I think that there was a lot. You're right, I did enjoy the episode as a standalone episode. Did I enjoy it as a season finale? Absolutely not.
No.
I feel like they didn't really do, I mean, I've been comparing or kind of making predictions on what the episodes are going to be, storyline wise, based on how Game of Thrones was written. Usually the penultimate is like the huge war scene, and then the season finale is like when the big chess pieces like are starting to move and you're like, holy shit, what does this mean going forward? It felt like they tried to kind of end it like that, like even just the music that they were using after Alicent is leaving Dragonstone, see all the armies that start marching and everything. There was like, they tried to make that very theatrical and like, I don't know, but that I didn't really hit for me. Like, it's just, like I said, like that would have been great season set, like episode 7, and then going into episode 8 as like this, the wars finally started, you know. And like, there's just some things that like, really didn't make sense. Like, I don't understand why we spent so much time in Lys in the beginning with the triarchy. Like, I was amused by it for sure. Again, would I have put something like that in a finale when your moments are precious, precious time?
Right. Like, right.
No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have put fucking Jason Lannister mud wrestling in the fucking finale.
The funniest thing that's happened in the House of Dragons series, though. Yeah. I will give them that. I did laugh. It was super funny, very enjoyable, just surprising, and it was nice. Like, I needed some fucking humor.
Yeah.
Too bad it was in the finale.
Yeah.
I actually felt it like it was an appropriate episode 8, but if we needed 2 more episodes, like, again, why is HBO shorting us the 10 episodes? Like, y'all are, like, come on, HBO. This is, like, one of your biggest shows. Just spend the fucking budget.
It could very well be the writers. Like, I don't know. I mean, we know that for Game of Thrones, when that was ending, it was very much HBO involvement, not really having canon to go by, and then the screenwriters being on, like, a super tight time limit to write something. So, like, everything was working against Game of Thrones at the end of it. With House of the Dragon, I feel like they've been planning this out for so long that I feel like they the writers probably wanted it to be 8 episodes, even though it very well could have been 10, and we could have gotten all of this story and filler stuff, like the mud wrestling.
I'm sorry, the only time you're getting away with 8 episodes is in the first season, because it's the first season. You know, like, I get that that usually happens. Yeah. But this is HBO. You've trained us for 10 episodes. And 10 episodes is what I want.
Yeah.
It is what I command. It is what Queen Rhaenyra commands herself. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're totally right. I'm so here for, like, the filler content and the story building and the character building, but don't do it when we're budgeted for time.
Yeah.
Use your time wisely to talk about people that we care about. Like, not people that don't, like, I don't know. It just feels like these are characters that don't actually matter in the grand scheme of things. Why didn't we get more content with the Starks or the other Lannisters? Or, like, we haven't even seen fucking Old Town yet. Like, there's still, I don't know. It's like, I just think, yeah, I'm wondering why, but hoping that there's a method to the madness of why they're writing the series the way that they are.
Especially why they're withholding the families from us. I wanted to see more Bracken and Blackwood interaction, if I'm being honest. Like, I wanted to see their qualms and the way that they're talking to these people.
Right. Also a thing that, like, I feel like they could have easily spent more time on. It's such an important part of the book and the whole outcome, those families. And then also, why did Daemon have to decapitate the guy? Like, I don't understand why some of the things are even happening. To be like, it makes sense if it's something that's in the book and they're trying to be truthful in that way, but it's, that wasn't in the book. There was no reason for that to happen. I don't know what it proved, except I don't know that Daemon isn't trustworthy, but then he bends the knee at the end of it anyways. So it's like, maybe it felt like a bait and switch kind of thing. Like, it felt like,
yeah, spoilers in the book too, if we didn't say that, because I don't think that I did. So sorry.
Ugh. What'd you say?
I said spoilers of the book too. I forgot to say that earlier.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so I won't ever spoil anything future-wise, but I will compare
what's
different. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, like, I agree with all of that too. It's just strange the way that they played it. I don't know. It's for me. I'm just like, this is not enough. You didn't give us enough time. You spent your time not that wisely.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. But let's move on to something more fun, shall we? We are introducing a new segment that Maddie actually came up with.
Yeah, it's my little saucy segment, or hot takes, but with a W, because it's hot and steamy and sexy. And I just want to point out the hottest moments of the episode.
Which is brilliant. So
we're the HBOs, and we're nothing if we're not talking about the hotness that's happening. So I just wanted to point out that this episode actually did have some very great moments of hotness. And my first one, hot take because it's controversial. So Kristen Cole, yes, we hate him. And this is what they do. This is what George does. I'm blaming you, George. I'm blaming the fucking writers, specifically Condal, calling you guys out. Listen, he's been a bad, bad man. But when he has that conversation with Gawain and he says, Allison saved me not once, but twice, two times. And since then, she's been the beacon I follow. Goodbye. Goodbye. I'm dead. I'm out of there. I'm convinced. Yeah. I'm back on Sir Kristen Cole. I'm so sorry. I really don't want to. I can't ignore my biology. I'm like, oh, fuck. That was what I want to hear from a man.
Honestly, I don't think that you should get flamed for that at all, because it was a great little monologue number that he had. He played it beautifully.
I appreciate you.
No, I think I say that in comparison to myself. He literally had to say the word engage last year, and it sent me fucking flying. So, so I have no room. I cannot judge personally.
I love you. You're the best.
Okay, my, to match your Kristen Cole, mine is Damon, obviously, but
obviously
not when he bent the knee or anything else that he says, other than when he is bent, when he's knelt down and Rhaenyra, also equally hot, says in Valyrian, which they both these actors speak it beautifully. I just love listening to it. Leave me again at your peril. And he stands up and he has this smirk, because, you know, they've got this kind of like lover's battle between them. And he stands up and he says, I could not, I have tried. And then they do this like really close, like forehead thing that these actors do so well. And it's just, that's what I want to hear from a man. Like, yeah, you can't fucking leave me.
Yeah, truly. That was also one of mine, just specifically Rhaenyra, leave me again at your peril, and the way she grabbed his hand and was like, yanked him in a little bit. I was like, yeah, try that again. Try that again. We're killing you. We're taking your dragon.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, so the other one, I have to say, Jace... he's becoming a man, honey. And I have to give him a lot of credit for putting Ulf in his place. It was hot. I was just like, yeah, good on you, bro. Like, you stand your ground. You be a man. Mm-hmm. You just be a man. And you fucking tell him the order of this castle. Okay? Oh,
gosh, we will get into fucking Ulf. I agree. I think that Jace has been... yeah, he's been wonderful. He's been forced to grow some balls, and he's only getting hotter because of it. So
yeah, and it was really cute too when Bela like kind of had the conversation with him, was like, hey, like, why are you tripping about being a bastard? Like, just prove to them that you're worthy. And he kind of like, he just breaks. He like leans his head back. He kind of like smiles a little bit. And I was just like, oh, look yeah. how well you guys communicate. Like, that was hot.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think him and Bela are so cute together.
Yeah, it made me very happy. It felt very like healthy, and that's sexy.
Yes, agreed. Okay, this is not necessarily the hottest moment, but it is revolving sex, so we have to mention it. Unfortunately, Aegon's burnt dick.
Oh, Aegon, not like a sausage. No.
Not pee drips down your leg. Like, oh my gosh.
No, this really, it's very funny the way he said it, but it also broke my heart because I was just like, sir?
Yes.
We didn't know. I'm sorry.
It's actually, it harkens back to a conversation that I think Maddie is in a full Game of Thrones rewatch right now. So I'm loving that I can bring out some moments. So she knows, like, I'm looking forward to this. But there is a point at the end of it when Daenerys, and she's got the Unsullied at King's Landing. They're meeting about the White Walkers and all that shit. These are major spoilers, people. I'm so sorry. But Bronn, who we know is hilarious, and Jaime, who is also hilarious, are standing up where the archers are, whatever, and they're talking about it, and they're basically like, would you go to war if you didn't have a cock? Because they're looking at the Unsullied, who obviously are all cut, so to speak. So, and then they kind of talk through what life would be like without one, right? Like, and then Jaime, this famous line says, I guess it is all just cocks in the end, isn't it? And so I'm just, that immediately, it made me think of that line when Aegon was talking, because he's like, basically like, what the fuck do I even have to live for? I can't even fuck anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
The damn maester won't give me rum. Like, just let the man drink himself to death.
Give
like,
him fucking milk of the poppy, please. Let this man fucking relax with his little aloe fucking lettuce leaves. I'm still stuck on that. I absolutely loved those. It was the most healing thing they could have done for him. And I just love the maesters and their handiwork.
They're healers. Gosh. But anyways, poor Aegon. Had to mention it because poor thing will.
Yeah, maybe he'll get the unsexiest moment, but you know what? Still hilarious.
Maybe he will find peace in fellatio.
Maybe.
Also, maybe. Just if your dick, just because it's off, does that mean you can't ejaculate?
Well, okay, let me just say, I think that he can still be a king and experience sensual pleasure without, like, getting completely off, right? Like, he can be just, like, touched and loved sensually.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
No, maybe this is a good thing for him.
Yeah, honestly, I hope that he gets that, because this poor man survived dragon's fire.
Yes. There are a lot of anatomical questions that I had during this whole episode. For the record, we will get to them. Okay. Do you have another hot
take? No, that's all my hottest hot moments. It's my hot takes. Thank you guys for getting sexy.
And maybe sometimes not. Apologies.
maybe sometimes not. Sorry, that time was not good.
Okay, let's move into the dragon seed. So we now officially have Adam of Hull, Hugh Hammer, is what they call him in the books. Ulf, dumb name for a dumb person. And then Rhaena by the end of it. Hopefully, fingers crossed. All right, let's start with Adam. First of all, he was up there on one of my hot takes because there was something about when Rhaenyra, they're all sitting at the dinner table together and she summoned him before she's going to Harrenhal. And she's like, Adam, come with me. And the way that this man, like, he just skipped off that.
Adam pulled it out of his seat. Like, she pressed the button. Yes. Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
I love him. I really, really like him. I like the guy that plays him a lot. I think he's beautiful to look at. God, he's just statuesque. Like, he looks like a statue.
He does look very, like, classical, kind of like Grecian statue. He has, like, the sharp, like, cheekbone. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he definitely is beautiful, obviously. And the cast is, too. Like, the way that they be casting for these series, just beautiful people. Really gorgeous-looking creatures. You know, it's...
Yeah.
That makes it pretty easy for us as fans. We're like, oh, we love this.
Right. And he is just... He's so pretty to look at. And just so symmetrical, my God. Anyways.
Yes.
Symmetry will always get me. That it should have been one of my hot takes. Just how symmetrical his face is.
So we also have Hugh Hammer, which he's pretty like, I don't know. He just seems very like for the crown.
Mm.
You know, he's like got his dragon. He's like, all right, what do you need from us? What do we got to do? There's
definitely something in dispute in that one scene where they're all sitting around. Bela basically says that Rhaenyra is talking about we're going to fly to the capital and take it. And Bela basically, not to the capital. She's saying they're going to fly over the Lannister armies that are marching west towards the capital, flying over them and basically pushing their armies back, basically setting them all on fire. And so Bela says something kind of in contention and is like, you mean to tell me we're going to be burning innocent people? And then Hugh kind of says something as well. So I think that he is not necessarily for the crown, but he's for the realm. Like, he's definitely a people first person. Yeah. I think
I agree with that. Like, he definitely seems like level and like moral. From what I can see so far. I mean, not the most moral, because, like, he'll do what he has to do. He did punch that guy for his groceries.
That's true.
You know, he was like, give me that! Which, again, you know, like, you gotta do what you gotta do. His daughter just died, and he doesn't want his fucking wife to die. I get it.
Right.
But I think if he didn't have to do that, he wouldn't live his life that way.
Yeah, he seems, in these situations, a little less confrontational than other characters, especially when it comes to Ulf. Like, he is kind of defending him, not defending him, but just almost like trying to justify and just be like, yeah, he just doesn't know how to act around you people, you know? And, yeah. And but like, but in a way that's not offensive to anybody. So I'm curious, he is already starting out seemingly different from the character in the book. So I think they're changing this one up a little bit. And so I'm really curious how they play it. Mm-hmm. But I am excited to see him. I mean, he's writing Vermithor, so that's huge. And, yeah. You know, I think he's going to be like a major game piece.
Yeah. Well, and then we've got, you know, Ulf, who's a fucking, he's just an idiot.
Ugh, I hate him so much. I hate him so much. They casted this perfectly. They couldn't, even his face to me at this point is hateable. I can't stand seeing him. I can't wait for him to die. I'm only saying that that's not a spoiler. I know that everyone dies. So,
well, yeah, obviously.
So like, I can't wait for him to just die. I really, really dislike this character a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's going to cause problems. And the thing is, just a quick prediction. I just, now that we're here, because now I'm thinking of it, I think Jace is probably going to kill him because Jace is already fucking annoyed and pissed.
Yeah.
It's like, get out of here.
Right. Because at least with Adam and with Hugh, they're humbled by it, whereas Ulf isn't. He's less humbled by it.
He's now empowered.
Right. And so even the fact that he came at Jace, he gave him a hug. I was like, like, that was like a jump scare for me when he hugged Jace. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Hug here, sir. Get your grubby fucking hands off my prince. Like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
It was just the, like, and then he's like, you know, you're a dragon rider. I'm a dragon rider. You know, and Jace is basically saying like, this is a sacred tradition. Like, this is a sacred, like, hereditary thing. Like, it's like already what Jace was saying in the last episode, Ulf is now proving now, like, he's basically saying, you know, if I can do it, you know, I'm the same as you. And it's like, no, motherfucker, you're not, you know?
Right.
Speaking of, I'm going to circle back to this later, but just a question that I wanted to talk about in terms of, I don't think we're going to talk about Jinx much more, but food for thought question that we'll circle back to is Jace any more or less legitimate than Joffrey from Game of Thrones?
Good question.
Yeah. I think that there is... Yeah, I think that the writers are definitely playing into that and our, like, moral, we love Jace and we love, you know, we loved Luke, but, I mean, we hated Joffrey, so it was easy for us to cast him down in Game of Thrones, and it's easy for us to turn the cheek to Jace.
Right. No, that's a really good question. I actually think that... I think that they both... don't have claim in the sense that their, like, background, their paternity isn't correct. Like, they've lied, right? Like, I think in that regard, they shouldn't get it because both of them have, like, lies. Right. But that doesn't mean that they don't have royal blood.
Right.
Because... we do know that Jace is Rhaenyra's son.
Yeah.
Which gives him some claim. But I think that actually Daemon's kids would have more claim in a sense because they married out truly.
Yeah,
right. And even Daemon and Rhaenyra's kids have more claim because they didn't lie about it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it's actually legitimate, right? Like, yes. Yeah. So, and you're right. I think Jace probably has a bit more because Joffrey was not Baratheon at all. Baratheon was the true, you know, the true, like, he was the usurper. Right. So he, So I think in that regard, but I mean, many would say that Jace is still illegitimate. It's something that I don't know why I thought of it randomly, but it was almost like basically the show is making hypocrites out of us. All of those.
Well, I think he has some claim because he has Targaryen blood.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I just think that they didn't connect with the royal families. He has, I guess, I don't know, if you're not royal, I guess you're lowborn. Or are there, like, families that are higher up, like,
Milady? They're noble. They're considered noble. But yeah.
Right. Thank you. So, like, and that's who they marry, right? Like, from noble families. Okay. And Jace's dad was not of a noble family?
He was. Yeah. His dad, yes, Strong was a noble family. Strong,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Harrenhal. Okay.
Of Harrenhal, yeah. His dad was the hand of King Viserys.
Yeah.
A long time. Like, they were definitely up there in court, for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to spend too much time on this. It's just, this is a thought that I had when I was doing my rewatch, and when Jace was talking about how special the Targaryen connection is with dragons, and then it just made me think, okay, like, it's clearly, it's proving it's not actually that special. Like, it, mm-hmm. like, the blood is important, but, you know. Okay, anyways, with dragons, I don't know, they're definitely huge set pieces. They completely turned, they shifted all momentum to Rhaenyra's, yes. you know, and Rhaenyra's,
yeah, she has a pretty good claim right now.
Yeah. And then we see that, God, we see Aemon just respond in the most horrible way, but we'll get there. First, yeah. I just want to talk about this triarchy situation, because yeah. they had mentioned it, I think, two episodes ago, and I am so fucking over the triarchy. I've been over them since season one, episode, like, three. Just, they're so annoying. The yes. issues that they've been causing, specifically Corlys, but also Daemon in the Stepstones this whole time. And, like, to be fair, so the Stepstones is, like, a cluster of small islands outside of the Gulf, the Blackwater Bay, which is where King's Landing, Dragonstone is, Driftmark, all that. And then a cluster of islands reaching down all the way to Dorne. It's always going to be a fight. It's always been a fight over those, but I think the Triarchy has now been enlisted by Aemon to kind of attack the blockade. Yeah. From the other side. And yeah. honestly, it's very smart.
Yeah.
Super smart on Aemon's terms, especially because these people are ruthless. I mean, we saw them fighting the last time when Daemon barely made it out alive. But yeah, I think my only complaint is that, like, I guess it was cool to kind of see Lys and, you know, their kind of culture and everything. But did I think we needed, like, the first 15 minutes of the show on, or this episode, on monkeys and mud fighting? No. Did I need to hear Jason Lannister sing ever? No.
Yeah, I know. No. But those were, like, the funniest parts of House of the Dragon to me, generally speaking, like, from season one to season two. Like, honestly, that shit made me laugh.
Yeah.
I was like, excuse me, we're mud fighting? And, like, they weren't just mud fighting. They were mud fighting. Like, they were in that mud hardcore.
That was some straight Florida shit, if I ever saw it.
Yeah. Like, if they had four-wheelers, they would have fucking been all in that shit. Okay?
Okay, I do want to take a minute to talk about Lohar,
the admiral.
Yes, the captain of the Triarchy, the one that the sailors will only follow... Him/her, not quite sure, very confused by what their pronouns are, or if they are non-binary.
He in the show. Did they not?
They did say he, yes, yeah. But I mean, clearly it's what the actress is actually a trans woman actress. Oh. So there's clearly, like, feminine, she's androgynous as fuck.
Yeah.
She's got boobs, you know, like, so.
Oh, love it.
So I was kind of confused. A lot of people I was reading on, like, Reddit and Twitter and stuff, that, like, a lot of people are also confused because of why they introduced her as a as a he, but then she appears so feminine. And then she says, you know, at the end of it, she's kind of, it's obviously a joke line, but the, you know, I want to have your babies. Can you sleep with my wives? And so yeah. It's like, I think they're playing with gender here. I think they're being very playful with it. I think that you said that you liked that. I just find it confusing. I would like an explanation from the writer.
I actually didn't hate it at all. I mean, I grew up watching fucking Sailor Moon and like the edited versions. And then I watched like the unedited versions when I got older. So I was like, oh, okay. Like just like the play on gender is, yeah, cool. Love it. Like, you know, and I also think like, oh God, I know it's like a hot topic right now, but gender is, it truly is quite a construct, you know? And I think like it seeps into things that shouldn't be gendered. I think that's what I fucking hate about it. I'm like, oh, soap isn't gendered. If you like the way rose smells, then get rose.
Yeah.
You know, if you like the way mahogany and teak smells, then fucking get that shit.
Yeah.
No, you're right. So I like the play on it because I'm like, yeah, it, to me, I'm just like, you can be what you want to be. You can do what you want to do. And it's just like another avenue into like that kind of fucking freedom.
Yeah.
And like, you know, on a personal level, like, yes, I'm a little lady. Do I love wearing men's clothes? Fuck yeah, I do. And I look mm-hmm. good in them.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, Maddie, that was very well said.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm just, so, you know,
regardless of what he, she, they, it are, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I just feel like it would, if it is actually a play between, I think I would just like confirmation of that because I am afraid of misgendering a character. In the books, it's a man. So It's like, I really don't have, I don't have a lot. And it's not that I need it to be categorized. I don't need it to be categorized. You could be a fucking unicorn. I don't care. But like, I would like just to know whether that's a joke or not, because I don't know whether to find it funny. You know what I mean? Or
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. That makes a bit of sense. And like, you know, sorry, not to tangent too much, but we've had a lot of conversations about like why humans categorize generally. And I think on a basic level, it's because we're trying to learn and understand, and to learn, we must understand first. So like Putting things in categories helps us specify and be like, oh, okay, this is this and this is that. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's natural for humans, I think, to like do that. But at the same time, I get where you're coming from because you're right. Like, oh, is it a joke or is it this? And
I would just not like to treat it as a joke if it's not supposed to be. It feels absolutely. It is because it's such a comical character. Like, her writing is so comical.
Right.
But also the fact that the actress is a trans woman, it's just adding another level. And I'm just like, this is really like, I would just not like to joke about something, whether like if I don't know if it is or not.
Yeah, I know. That makes a lot of sense. I appreciate that. Being
that
like,
being said, right. And that being said, I thought that she was hilarious.
Wonderful.
Yeah, she's going to be a great addition. I'm speaking as the actress's pronouns, but she's going to be wonderful. I think she was, she was so
fast clapping after he was done singing.
It was hilarious.
Really made me happy. I was like, you crazy little bat. I love you. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty bad, but I do like that energy. I'm like, you're just crazy, like, Elise, bitch. Like, you're coming in hot with some, the fucking joke. Have you ever feasted upon your enemies? And he's like, no, and I don't plan to. And then she's like, yeah, are you going to disrespect me like that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, shit. And then they were like, adjust, my lord. That was great. That was very great.
She calls him a different name every single time
which is another thing I personally absolutely love. I'm like, we don't need to know their name. You just need something close to their name.
Right. Immediately, like, we know the Lannisters and they do not change. And that is what this show is showing of all of the ancestors of the characters that we know in Game of Thrones. We see. If they were crotchety then, they're crotchety now. If they were like pissed in and shit on gold toilets only. They're only shit and pissing on gold toilets now. Yep. And that is the Lannisters. So the idea that we pan into this fucking tent on the...
Oh my God, he was so uncomfortable. And he was so hot.
Yeah. He's sitting crisscross applesauce.
He is.
A bunch of fucking lords in turbans. And it was sand. He would rather be anywhere else in the world right now. This is ideal for this.
Getting mud wrestled, getting forced to sing. He's not having a time. This is like his Miami trip with his girls gone bad. I feel bad. Poor baby.
Oh gosh. Okay, so there was some sweet, like, ironic justice in this a little bit. You definitely started to feel for him at a point there. Okay, all right, let's talk about Damon. Let's talk about A Song of Ice and Fire. Let's talk about Rhaenyra, baby. Let's talk about Alice. Let's talk about Hair and Balls.
Hair and Balls. Okay, finally, this man is controlling the trip. They've given him enough drugs to where he's built up a tolerance, obviously. All right. He can walk through the halls without being a fucking narcoleptic. No offense to anyone, but I'm just like, oh, why did he come here and now he just falls asleep everywhere? This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's nice to see him a little bit freed, even if he is fucked up on weird ass witch tea. The whole moment of him and Rhaenyra. So first she comes in. These motherfuckers don't bend the knee, which is upsetting, concerning. I was scared. I was like, oh no, they're going to slaughter her. Thank goodness Damon had his vision.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Which was crazy because, again, he had to build up that tolerance. And Alice was like, all right, you are able to touch this LSD tree and it's going to show you things that you must know. And, you know, it's funny because I think in the previous episode or two, she had told him, she was like, hey, just so you know, you're nothing but a piece on the board. She said it in words and then she let the tree show him. Right. So I was like, okay, double whammy.
Yeah, I want to talk about this vision because I thought that it was obviously powerful to Damon, right? But like for us as viewers, what was really interesting is like it's the first and probably only glimpse we get of White Walkers in the House of the Dragon version. So like that was kind of jarring when we first saw it, right? I don't know. We see like a dead dragon. Like we see it's very like
walking through dead bodies.
Right. So it's very dreamlike. Yeah. But I think that they did capture a lot in it. I loved the shot. I doubt it was actually Emilia Clarke, but I loved the shot of Dany with the three dragons. I loved that it was it's really cool because the dragons that Dany hatches are the eggs that he got out of the clutch one time when we saw him in the volcano in season one. So like that was a really cool kind of connection. I feel like that might have added to, you know, you are in this game. I think him seeing Rhaenyra on the Iron Throne at the end of it, like I guess the thing is what's so interesting is that I question whether or not Damon had to go through all of this season, all of his hauntings at Harrenhal. whether that was, because in the book, I will say timeline wise, like he is at Harrenhal for a while and him and Rhaenyra, like it's as far as whoever wrote the book doesn't know if they're actually speaking or not. So the writers had a lot of gray area to work with. And, you know, I think that they kind of used it wisely. I question whether it was necessary to have him going through all this stuff. Like that's really going to be Damon's journey here. It was less about him actually coming up with the armies, like finding those and sourcing those, and more about his journey back to Rhaenyra. So I think that, I guess like if I had to guess, I would want to say that George, being executive producer on the show, or maybe not an executive producer, but a writer on the show, probably made it a point, like, A Song of Ice and Fire is, like, that's the end all be all. That's why we're all here, right? So, mm-hmm. like, that needs to be a very present theme. So I guess I understand it now more than I did, because I was questioning. I'm like, where the fuck is this going? Like, what are we doing? You know, like especially because I knew already that he was going to go back to Rhaenyra, like him and Rhaenyra were going to resync. So I'm like, why are we just keeping him here tripping balls with this random Rivers witch? I guess this, like, anyways, a long-winded way of saying is, like, I'm happy that they tied in some other stuff from Game of Thrones. I'm happy that they, you know, and they kind of made it all seem like it was necessary at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I didn't hate it, but I do think, and I liked seeing Dany at that moment, but I also disliked it because it felt on the nose.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we could have shown something still obvious but obscure that, like, meant those things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also agree with you that, like, to me, his journey was more spiritual, and it's, like, the belief that Rhaenyra truly is the one. Like, he didn't fully believe it. Like, this was his journey. Like, he really had to give himself over and be like, okay. And, like, I think even, like, his visions with Viserys, like, whoever, like, wears the crown, it crushes them.
Yeah.
You know, the burden is fucking heavy. Like, do you want that? And, like, he knows it's going to be heavy for her, and, like, she's more suited for it. Like, he had to come to that realization. I think he knew it all along. He just couldn't accept. I think maybe it was a journey of acceptance, actually.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, acceptance that he is just a piece in the board, and he is not, he's not the main fucking show. You're not that.
Like, he didn't play an important role, though. Like, I think the one thing that's interesting about him with seeing Dany and you, like, saying that, like, he got the sack that she ends up with, he did that probably, like, more mindlessly than anything. And I think, like, it's the realization that, like, you don't have to plan and do. It's, like, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. This is the prophecy, however it happens.
Right, right.
And, like, letting go of that control is...
Yeah.
Like a spiritual thing.
Right. So, like, and that, I mean, obviously none of that was in the book. So the idea that they added that, and they added A Song of Ice and Fire.
I did like that.
So much into the show. I am a fan of it. When they first mentioned it in season one, I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, it's going to be culty as fuck. but I think that the way that they actually wrote it in has been, it like how Jason was saying, that it's a sacred thing, like A Song of Ice and Fire is told to your heir. It's not told to all your kids. That's why Daemon had no idea about it.
Right.
But Viserys and Rhaenyra and now Jace do, and it is something that's passed down. And so, yeah, I'm happy. And, like, I actually really loved, like, the scene where she finally comes, you know, she comes in. By the way, happy that she brought Adam, because had those soldiers taken up arms against her, that motherfucker was there to burn them all. Another reason why we love Adam.
Did feel bad for Jace, though. He looked pissed.
Yeah, but sorry, your dragon's just not as big, babe.
Yeah, and also, you're too precious. You're the heir.
Yeah.
Also, we can't just send you into fucking battle, bro.
Yep. So I did like that when Daemon is talking to her, he talks to her in High Valyrian. I really love when they speak back and forth with each other in that language. The way, like I said, they speak it so beautifully, and it's something that's so personal to the two of them. So yeah, he comes the fuck around
finally. It honestly took a little bit too long for my fucking liking, but he did bend the knee. He did.
Well, if the show would have went in the timeline I thought it was gonna go, he probably would have this all probably would have happened maybe at the end of two episodes ago, the end of 6, 7 being all of the other shit that happened this episode, and then 8 being the beginning of the war. Because the war is about to start now. So, right.
Yeah.
Okay, should we talk about Aemond, Aegon, and Helaena? The curse.
Yeah, so... definitely want to touch on Amond. He's freaked. He is freaked out, which is so strange to see. Like, it's nice to, I mean, it's not nice because the thing is, when he is scared, anxious, fearful, he lashes out, you know, and that's not good, but it is, it's, I think, compelling and intriguing to see his behavior when that layer is peeled back and he's not like knowing exactly what to do next.
Yeah, I'm scared. I mean, the, yeah, him just burning a coastal city to the ground for absolutely no reason. They weren't harboring anybody that he needed to hurt. They right. did nothing wrong, like nothing. He, it literally, it was like he tells Vhagar to retreat in the last episode and then instead goes like to get out his fury somewhere else to innocent people. And that's like, that's an awful thing. I mean, it's terrifying, right? So, yeah. But it is more compelling than him being like the composed person that we've always known him to be, right?
Right.
Like, I like that we're starting to see the side of him. I wanted to kill him myself when he goes into Helena's room and grabs her by the wrist and demands that she, you know, takes her dragon to flight. Like that, I was like, whoa, you're past a point. I understand lashing out on people that you don't know, but your own family, especially your mother and your sister, who you have personally defended in the past against others, you know, like, I feel like his moral compass is like, he's just seeing red in his one eye.
In his one eye. Poor baby. Yeah, no, he black definitely red. Did. Yeah, and I did not like that either. Like, the way he fucking stormed in there. Honestly, finally, Allison did something well. She mama bared the fuck out of him. She was like, no! And I felt the power. I was like, yes, finally, do not let him fucking poison this pure baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do not take our angel.
No, the way that she said it, the kindest, the gentlest, the most deserving of your protection, Helena. Right. You know,
right. And what would she be if her mind is broken?
Right. Like, that's, and truer words have never been spoken. Thank you, Allison. The first time I think I've ever agreed with that bitch.
Truly.
But yeah, no, I think I love seeing her fierce protection of Helena, especially when I think she can understand Helena on a level, but no one really understands Helena.
Right.
Like, fully. Right. So like, but the idea that, like, I mean, I think that Allison should have just always been a girl mom, in my opinion. I think she would have done better with girlies. Yeah. Boys are not her thing.
No, clearly. Not good for her.
No, but yeah, I think with Amond, we definitely see the tick. We definitely see it, you know. We kind of saw it start to unravel at the end of, you know, or actually we've kind of seen him starting to unravel, especially at the small council meetings, but... Yeah, I think he's absolutely ticked off now. And then I want to talk about the scene with him and Helena by themselves.
Yes.
Because Helena, first of all, she is so fucking pretty.
Truly,
but like there is something about like her eyeball shape that I just love looking at.
Yeah, and she was really beautiful, like in the moonlight. There was something really giving. She was so natural and so like pretty, just like illuminated. It was very nice. Like, finally, I will also overall thought, sorry, the lighting of this episode made me very happy. I saw everything.
The foreground distortion made me very unhappy.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that on Instagram probably because I have a bone to pick with whatever cameras these fuckers are using. Anyway, this is my other anatomy question outside of Aegon's dick. Amond's one eye. Do you cry double when you only have one eye?
So, me,
any doctors listening,
100%, I would cry double, maybe triple out of my single eye.
Yeah.
For other people, I'm not sure, but I imagine it's kind of like if you lose one sense, how another sense becomes stronger. You know, if like you lose your sight, right. sometimes your smell becomes stronger. So I'm like, maybe his eyesight gets stronger. And that one eye, it's like bionic.
He gets I'm sure. No, but that was like, because he starts tearing up in this. They both acted this scene beautifully. Helena, yeah, when she's basically like, when he was like, you know, I could have you killed right now. And she, and like, I knew it was going to come out of her mouth, but I don't ever hate when I know what's going to come out of people's mouths, because I'm like, I'm smart and I can predict this. But, she's like, it wouldn't make a difference. And it's right. true.
Right. Like, it would change nothing.
And when she says, you know, Aegon will be back on the throne and you will be dead, swallowed by, you know, God's eye, the way that she's speaking about it, I have yet to see her this forward and bold, I think. And I really loved seeing that from her. Like, her performance was fantastic.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was really fantastic. And I like the way she's giving it to him. Like, she's giving it to him straight and firm, but not in like a mean way. She's not condescending, right? Like, she's not an aggressive person. She's never out here cutting people down. She's like a fucking seer. She's a prophet.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that. I was just like, yeah, like, and I think that's why he was like, yeah, I could have you killed, but he didn't harm her, because he's like, she's not, this is not a threat from her. Like, he knows that she says weird shit all the time, and he's yeah. smart enough, I think, to know that these are probably prophecies, because that's why he had that look in his face. He's like, okay, right. he just spoke right. some truth to me.
Right. Everything that she said has come true.
Correct.
So, you know, Aegon, obviously, Lord Laerys.
Smartest thing out of the city with yes. one good foot.
Smartest thing he's ever done. He was speaking such truths. And he, I think, it's the first time we're really seeing Laerys identify with somebody else and kind of connect with them in a way that's not, I mean, obviously, I mean, truth be told, Laerys is kind of like, let me be your sugar daddy for a little bit. Let me take care of you. Like, you
yeah, need I got that hair haul gold in an off coast, offshore account in Essos, baby.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. So, like, it's the first time that I think we see anything altruistic from him, which is a nice change of pace.
Not altruistic, because Aegon is still going to come back into power.
I suppose.
It's not altruistic. There's a motive.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose. It just feels, the actor does a really good job of just, he's got the eyes, man. He's got those,
he does
like,
have the eyes.
He's got like a Cancer stellium eye, like where he's just like, I can connect with you on the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yeah. like, I can see you. I'll meet you there, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just felt more heartwarming. It was one of the more heartwarming performances from Laerys. We also got him the first time he goes in and talks to Aegon. I had said this. This was one of the things that I was most interested about this season, was what is Laerys going to do now that his king is, you know, crippled, basically.
Yeah.
Like what okay. moves is he going to try to make?
Speaking of Aegon being crippled, so I guess this is like, just like not a question, but just okay, a little bit about like how he is in his healing process. He still has like this kiddish attitude, which I think is so strange, especially after being something so traumatic. I'm like, yeah, you're king, but like something about the way he was speaking, I was like, oh, like you're still not getting it. Like you're not fully getting that. Like, you are the king. Like you even like the, I get like, you know, the way he's talking about like his, you know, fifth appendage, like, it was joking, but I'm like, yeah, there are more important things to worry about right now. Like you're alive, dude.
Yeah. But he's, when has he never, like, when has he cared about anybody else really, but himself? I mean, he does when he's faced with it. He's like, I feel like a kind person when he's asked for something, right? But like he's still self-centered. He's always been self-centered, right? So like it's always like, and I feel like I, you know, if my vagina was suddenly, my whole vulva was suddenly taken from my body, I would find very little, like, I would be, it would be ultimate victim complex for me. I'd be like, yeah, what the fuck is the point of living anymore? Like, just take my tongue out of my mouth so I can't ever taste anything anymore and take my vulva and fucking, I'm offing myself. Like,
I mean, I get it, but I'm just saying, like, I just feel like when you go, it's, you know, when you're like really drunk, you know, when you're young and like, you know, there's cops around, you're at a house party and you sober up real quick. I feel like he went through a very similar kind of experience in being blown off his fucking dragon with dragon fire, you know, and like, I don't know. I feel like when you wake up out of something like that, you're like, okay, all
right. Well, right, but what the hell is he going to do about it? He's crippled. His dragon's dead. His brother wants to kill him. His half-sister wants to kill him. Like, what the... He literally says it. What the fuck was this all for anyways then? You know, because when Laris confirms that Rhaenyra now has six dragons on her side, like, it's almost like... Yeah, like, yeah, you give up the will to live when you can't even walk or piss. You know, like, he has to sit on the toilet for the rest of his life. It, like, so there's not only, like, these bodily things that have happened to him that have made him literally a cripple, but, like, also, yeah, what good does he actually serve the realm? Yeah. Even if that was one of his main, I don't know, one of his main drivers, which I don't ever think it was. I don't think he ever planned on that he wanted to make it a better place or, you know, carry out, like, the peace of his father. Like, he never gave a shit about it. So there's that, but like, yeah, I think I feel like I totally understand where Aegon's coming from right now. I think I would feel the same exact way. I'm also inherently a very selfish person. So with that, just take that. I feel like he's no match for Rhaenyra and he's no match for Aemon. And so he's just given, you know, I feel like he's just given up. I don't think his time is over, though. I think specifically with Helaena and her little prophecy magic to Aemon, I think that we will see Aegon again. I hope we do, because he is a fantastic character and a fantastic actor. Okay, should we move on to fucking
Elnira Forever?
Yeah, Disney ass name.
Yeah, let me start off this segment by saying my dumb ass was on the internet and someone did like a fan edit and it's like AI, because I think like the episode leaked and I was very good. I waited. So there's like, you know, where they're talking and someone does an edit of them like kissing and it looked so real, but I also swiped away so fast because I didn't want to spoil anything and I got scared and I was so excited. Upsided, Jesus, I said excited and upset at the same time. I was so excited and then I was so upset. I was robbed. We were robbed.
Well, we who? I mean, I guess I would have liked to see it. It's so funny because Maddie was texting me and she's like, I think I just spoiled this for myself. And then she, like, after a few texts back and forth, she's like, can I just tell you what it is? And I'm like, sure. Like, I already know, you know, well past where you are anyways. You're not really going to spoil anything. And she's like, I saw a TikTok where it looked like Rhaenyra and Allison kissed in this episode. And I was like, well, all I can tell you is that that's definitely not in the books. So it's not in the books. That is not pure canon.
Yeah. So anyways, they robbed us. Honestly, those are the only true loves of the whole fucking series. And, you know, they're just never going to be together.
But you know, if this was, can I just say, if none of them were royal and if this was Essos or Dorne, the two of them and Kristen could have been together in a throuple and been happy.
Yep. For they the could rest have been their so days. Happy. Yeah.
The partly kings and queens that they are. Yeah. Yep.
God, truly. So yeah, no, but I did really enjoy this conversation. Obviously, you know, I am not trying to be team green. I am team black, but I'm a little bit team Allison because I feel like I realized the structure she grew up in. And it was good to see. I knew she was on her deconstruction journey. And I'm glad that we finally saw that happen. Not to say that it's like that she's forgiven and absolved, but I think, like, you know, what is like the healing process? Like, the first part of it is denial, right? Like, she's out of that part. And I'm like, honestly, that means you're taking steps to become a better person. And yeah, a lot of times, if I'm being real as fuck, people don't change, especially core characteristics. And if you do, it takes a lot of work, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think that people can't change or that people can't feel remorse for things that they've done. And I think with her, because of, like, you know, like, people didn't live as long, but just like age wise, I'm like, yeah, when did you have your first kids by Viserys? Like, still as a teenager, you know, like 17, 18, you know, like, it's just like she was, and I'm saying that's young for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, male or female, like, when you are the, like, you're just young, like, and you're learning a lot. So, like, I think, like, it's very much in the timing of, like, she's finally, like, a little bit older and she knows more and she can think a little bit more for herself. Like, that frontal lobe is fully developed. And she just says it so well, where she's like, yeah, I grew up, raised that following order would be the correct path and that things would be, like, if I did the right thing, then the right things would happen. And I found out that that was bullshit. And of course she clung to it for a while because she didn't know any fucking different. I don't know. It was just like, for me, I felt like it was a little bit cathartic. And I was like, yeah, I don't forgive you completely, but I am happy for you at the same time.
Oh gosh, this was hard.
It was hard for me to watch.
It pissed me off when I watched it the first time, and then it pissed me off doubly when I watched it the second time, specifically because I understand, I think it's less about what she's saying and more about how Olivia Cooke is playing her. She plays such a fucking bitch. Like, she plays bitch so well. I'm actually, like, she's a celebrity I would never want to meet because she obviously has the capacity to be just so mean and, like, empty with her words. Like, fucking hats off to her. She played this better than Cersei even did. Like, there is something about the way that she speaks that is so condescending that I fucking hate it. Like, everything in my bones hates everything about Alicent because of that. And the idea that, like, it's like she's finally coming back like a dog with her tail between her legs, but then she still has the same tone of voice. Like, it drives me crazy. I don't know. There's something of it specifically about the acting. I think the acting of Alicent and the acting of Rhaenyra are just so good and, like, leveled up for this show that, like, I can't help but just take them at, like, just an incredibly emotional value and less about specifically what she's saying. So with that being said, I also think I'm like, okay, well, now that shit's gone too far, and now that one of your kids is basically half dead, the other kid is a mass murderer, and you're scared for the entire fucking world.
Right.
And another kid is at risk for dying because she, you know, might refuse to ride her dragon, which hopefully she does, because, you know, poor Helena, if God, God send her into fucking war, like, that would be awful. But I'm just like, now on your last leg, now is when you want to come and try to situate something. You know, it, like, Rhaenyra was going to take the fucking capital anyways. Like, now that Rhaenyra has claimed officially six dragons on her side, you know, like, I just feel like it was bullshit. I understand if Alicent is finally learning her lesson, but, like, what the fuck does that have to do with Rhaenyra? Like, that's your own fault. Like I, like, appreciated when Rhaenyra was like, well, why are you here then? Like, go handle yourself amongst yourself as you deserve. Like, why am I your audience of, you know, it just, everything about it screamed selfish. Everything about it screamed, like, I just didn't like it at all. At all. It actually, like, made me like Allison even less than I already did. Because at least with a character, I understand and I see your point of, like, people can change. But I didn't see any humility in her. I didn't see any, like, I don't know, forgiveness. I understood and agreed with her points that, like, I get why she is that way. I just don't think that Rhaenyra needs to be fucking bothered with it ever again. Like, you made your bed, lie in it.
Yeah, I did that.
Like, you did that. You did that. Because none of this would happen if it weren't for Allison.
Right, and she says it. She's like, oh, you know, like, and at this point, like, I can't even spare Aegon. Even as much as I would want to, like, to do what I have to do, I have to take his head. Like, I'm sorry, but you know that this is the fucking truth of the matter.
Right.
You know, this is, and it's her fault.
Yeah, it is. It's all her fault. Literally all of it. Like, go bury your head in the fucking sand somewhere, Allison. I can't be bothered with it. Like, if I were Rhaenyra, I wouldn't have even talked to her. I would have been like, I don't give a fuck what you're going to say. Go away. Like, whatever. At the end of it, like Allison and her kind of come up with a plan of, like, we'll open the city gates to you. You don't actually have to kill anybody. Like, blah, 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 blah. Me and Helena are going to take off. I don't know what's going to happen. That's completely different than what happens in the book. So it's like, I have no idea what, but it's also something that's kind of can be changed. It's not really something that's very, like, specific in the book. So I understand if they go a different direction, but I don't know. It was almost like the first secret meeting. I understand why a lot of people that have known this whole story before are angry. I get it, because way that they're writing these characters is a lot different than how, like, quote unquote history depicts them. So I don't know, like, it's interesting that they're playing so much on this female to female relationship. I appreciate it because these relationships are dynamic and complex, and I think that they deserve attention the way that we're giving them. But yeah, I think that, I don't know, just me specifically with Allison, I'm just like, yeah, take your fucking pity party back on home. Like, I'll see you in the morning when I'm burning your fucking castle down, you dumb bitch.
You don't think it's better late than never?
No! It's never, like, it's never better late than never. I think that, especially with how far gone it is, like, your son killed my son. Like, we are literally at war right now. Like, I've got armies at the fucking ready. I've got ships at the ready. I've got dragons ready to pop the fuck off. And now is when you want to come? You, because she denied Rhaenyra's secret meeting. She denied Rhaenyra's, like, try at the beginning.
That's true.
And I'm like, so now it's like I probably would have punched her in the fucking face. I'm like, you're an idiot. I tried to do this before any of this actually happened. Now I'm winning, and now you're coming here secretly.
All right, you're not wrong. All right.
Allison knows that she's actually in danger at this point, and you know it feels fucking it feels
it's selfish. I agree.
Like, we as an omniscient viewer seeing, like, Allison's whole journey in nature and fucking blah, whatever. Like, but, like, Rhaenyra is not seeing that. If I were Rhaenyra, I'd be like, this is a sack of shit. Like, you're just scared shitless and you want to flee. And, you know, you don't want your tyrant fucking maniacal, like, psychopathic son ruling the Seven Kingdoms. Like, good on you for realizing that finally.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just think she had a struggle to get out of that, and I understand why. Like, the fucking hood was pulled over her eyes for a long time, and it's because she was, like, I don't want to say it like this, but I'm gonna say it like the bitch was basically groomed to be
by her own father. 100% she was.
Yeah, but there was still it takes time, I think, to like see things clearly and to like really understand them. When you're 17, 18, even 25, I'm like, damn, bro, like there's still some shit that like you're kind of naive to.
Oh, 100%. Everyone on the planet. Yes.
Yeah.
I get that. And I know that that's really been her only saving grace, is that she was a child victim of this whole situation.
Yes.
She never actually wanted it or asked for it. Yes, I understand that. I also understand that, like, as an adult, you became a person capable of making decisions. And, like, you were the one that literally sent this whole world into war to try to protect your kids. And now you're just going to let her behead Aegon. You know, she had like, I'm just like, and like, there was just certain things that she said, like when she ever mentioned Emma and Viserys's love for Rhaenyra's mother and how he never actually loved her. And she said, I know that he named you heir out of love for her. I'm like, I would have thrown that bitch out of a fucking window. I'm sorry. Like, who the fuck are you to speak on me? Or my mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it like, there was just like, it's like she can't, like, there were things that she said that felt vulnerable. And then she just retracted so fast and said something just so cunty. And I'm like, it was, like I said, it was hard to watch it the first time. I was in shock watching it the second time, knowing like kind of what it all ended up being. I was just pissed. I'm pissed. I hate it.
Fuck Allison.
No, Maddie, you can still love her. I am a different person than you.
You know? Because I don't love her, I think I just understand her. I'm like, fuck, you really had to deconstruct some shit. And like, it took you some time. And as much as I don't forgive you for the shit, I just understand your journey.
Well, there's some a bunch people of fucking have to forgive you. Some people have to forgive some people, and you know, we can't all have. I think there's just different trigger points for the two of us.
Yeah. Some people have to forgive, and some people have to exact revenge, and you know, that's why season 3 is going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I guess predictions, if you have any. I don't even know what to predict, because I'm just like, excuse me, so much is built up. Like, obviously, war. That's apparent. They're all going to be going at it. Episode 1, Season 3 is going to be a banger.
Right.
The whole season is probably going to be a banger.
Okay, I did say in one of our last episodes that I was going to throw up some maps of where everybody was. I think I never did that. I'm so sorry, people. It's been a busy go. But I do actually, just even for my own visual benefit, want to throw up maps, because at the end of it, we see all the armies marching in different directions from different places. We've got the Lannisters marching from the west. We've got the Starks marching from the north, crossing the bridge that Jace ever so kindly granted us.
Mm-hmm.
Go Jace. We've got Daemon's army at Harrenhal, whether they're going to be marching anywhere or not, not sure. There is one other army that I'm forgetting right now, but I want to kind of show on a map where everybody is, because I feel like they're all marching towards different places, right? Oh, we've got Kristen that's marching towards Harrenhal. That's the other one. So they're all kind of marching in these really kind of weird directions. It actually, like, when I put it on a map, it might look like a train map of like a inner city, maybe like a Boston train map. But
love it.
But I do think visually that would be, my brain would love it. Obviously they're going to war. I guess my question to you is, do you think that Allison is going to hold up on her promise to open the gates for Rhaenyra? And or do you think Rhaenyra is going to wait? Because Allison said in 3 days' time, do this. Rhaenyra had said earlier, we fly in 2 days to the other dragon riders. So even their timing, it's a 24-hour difference.
So we only see Otto for like half a second in some weird-ass cell. So I don't know. Like, I feel like she might have good intentions of wanting to stick to that. But if Otto shows up in any fucking capacity, there's going to be a lot. She's going to submit and be convinced. And right. that, you know, like, it's going to be bullshit. And
right.
the thing is, like, as much as, like, I love this deconstruction journey for her, I think that in the time that they are in, she knows that she can only do so much. And that's why she wants to get away. Because if she's around men, like, that's the power that she is subdued to.
Right.
So I want to say her intentions are good, but I think it's going to turn out bad.
Okay.
I mean, I think Rhaenyra might wait because she's gullible for yeah. Alicent.
I think that's, sorry, just to add that on to, I think that there is something, it's not necessarily about Alicent. It's so easy for my mind to paint her the ultimate victim. There is something so deep in me that wants to protect Rhaenyra and her children. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why I'm like such a fucking like guard dog about it. And I'm like, fuck you, Alicent, get away. You mean like you can't do anything positive here. You've only ever hurt this girl. Like get yeah, away.
I completely understand where you're coming from. I think especially seeing how Rhaenyra has taken her rulership, like, she has been slow to anger, and that is a good quality in a ruler.
Yes. You know, but also that usually easily gets hurt by people that are not, or people correct. That are malicious. And I think that that's why, like, there is this protective nature. I feel like this about all things, all beings that I think have a hard time, you know, defending themselves. I have this like innate need, this like, I don't know if it's maternal or if it's like a anti-bully thing or whatever it is, but I'm just like, you have hurt her so much already. Get the fuck away. You can't possibly make anything better now. You know, yeah. like just go away. You know,
yeah, and I think like specifically with Rhaenyra and how she has been towards Alicent, slow to anger. And she's had every right to be upset and angry and vengeful. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't been. It's honestly so respectable. It's honorable. I mean, like, that is what the realm is. That is what the Seven Kingdoms is about. And I think that's why, like, we uphold that so much. Like, that's why we're all so fucking Team Black, because it's just like, yeah, like, these people understand what it's about.
Right. They were the rightful ones under the Peaceful King, which was Viserys.
Right. Right. So, and I think, like, that's why it's hard for us to accept, and especially for you to accept like anything from Alicent, because it's like, well, you know, she's already tried to be as fucking gracious as possible with you, and you squandered those opportunities.
Right.
Basically then, spit in yeah. her face, right. you know, proverbially.
Right. So, Rhaenyra, if you need a sworn protector, girly, I am here for you. I know no knight more protective than me. Yes, yeah. Giving fucking Oathkeeper a sword that I wouldn't even be able to hold, and yeah,
fuck bigger it. Than you,
bigger just than me, than
you. Double your size.
Oh my god, yeah, guys, yeah. I'm like 5'2", so yeah, much bigger than me. No, but I'm just like, yeah, like I just feel like, yeah, I like all of the Blacks, yeah, like Bela, Jace, Damon, don't feel the need to protect that man at all. He's got it. He's good. that fucking Sir Simon Strong.
Love him.
We need to protect him at all costs. And when I say we, I feel that in my soul. Like, I feel it in my chest. Like, do not come for this man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's hard to predict what's going to happen. Like, obviously, a lot of people are going to die next season. I guess, like, the better question would be, like, who do we think makes it through?
Kristen. Probably.
Oh god, no. No. Kristen, his oh gosh, he's probably gonna have to like protect some Targaryen kids or those eggs somehow. It's gonna end up with him. Oh my gosh.
So I do wanna say that it was also announced today that there will only be four seasons of the show.
Oh boy.
So yeah, so a lot is gonna happen. So
they better give us 10 episodes for each of the remaining seasons.
I am steadfastly reading the rest of this book because I need to know what the fuck happens. Like, I'm over.
Yeah, I would actually even be happy if they just dropped like a 2-episode Christmas special.
Oh, like Euphoria style.
Give me that 10. Give me that 10. And then give me 10 for the other ones. You fucking idiots. Sorry. I'm sorry to the HBO gods. I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
clear their namesake.
I know. I didn't mean to think them. I was overcome with emotion. I'm so sorry, but truly, this is how bad we need it. Like, I'm being a martyr for the fans as well. Like, we really.
I know. I mean, yeah. So, for the listeners, Maddie is not reading the book, and she will not let me spoil things. She only asked me very, very specific questions if it's on her mind for like longer than 24 hours. She's like, okay, Sam, I'm gonna let you spoil one thing.
Especially if I need it for lore. Sometimes I have random lore questions where I'm like, oh, I wonder how this bloodline went back here. Like, did these dragons do this? And sometimes, like, there has to be like a small spoil, which, you know, you gotta pay the price.
Yeah, it happens. Gosh, my only like question is like, who fucking captured Otto? Like, I don't know. He was either, there were two destinations that him and Allison talked about before he left. It was either Hightower or Highgarden or Old Town. And so both of them are kind of in different directions from King's Landing. If he went to Highgarden, that's like directly west, he would have been across the Riverlands while Daemon was assembling the Blackwoods, the Brackens, all that was happening. So he could have been captured by them, but now Daemon, all of them are loyal to him. So I feel like he would have already been dead. Daemon would have already cut his head off. As we know, Daemon hates Otto. So I feel like he was going to Old Town, but I'm trying to understand geographically for my geography girlies, understanding the Westerosi map where he would have been. This is not a topic that we need to talk about right now. That's just my only big question is like, who the fuck imprisoned this man?
Yeah, truly. You guys don't even know what you're doing. Like, as much as I hate Otto, the man is valuable.
Well, right. And it's been weeks. And I'm like, why has no one offered him up for coinage on either side?
Coinage for a doubloon.
Like, hey, Allison, I've got your daddy, right? Hey, Aegon, got your grandpappy. Yeah. Or, like, hey, Rhaenyra, got your sworn enemy. Like,
yeah,
one of the reasons why this is even happening, like, it, you know, I don't know. It's just, like, why is he still in a crate somewhere? It's I'm very confused.
Shipped off to freaking Essos.
I mean, Tyrion style, in a crate on a ship.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to have a summer vacay. And Pentos, baby. He's going to meet with Laris and Aegon.
Okay. All right. I've got a fuck, marry, kill for you before we leave.
All right. Let's.
Okay. Fuck, marry, kill. Rhaenyra. Alicent. Melisandre.
Which one is Melisandre?
Oh, wait. What's her name?
Missaria.
Sorry. Melisandre is the Red Witch from Game of Thrones. Okay. I'm coming off hot. A Game of Thrones rewatch.
Ooh, that is good. That is good. So we're gonna have to kill Alicent.
Whoa, not what I thought you were gonna say.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. She's too slow in her deconstruction era. I'm sorry, you got to make faster decisions. As much as I feel for her, I can't trust her.
I was not expecting that at all. I thought you were gonna fuck Allison, marry Rhaenyra, kill Grey Worm. Jesus Christ, another Game of Thrones thing. I'm so sorry. White Worm. There's too many worms. There's too many Aegons. There's too many worms.
There's too many similar names. I'm definitely sorry to come out the gate with a banger, but we're going to have to kill Alicent. As much as I want her to just deconstruct and live her life and do like community work because that's what she needs to do to pay off her freaking just all of the sins,
She has to rescue all of the abandoned animals.
Yeah, truly. But, like, do I think she's going to do that? Can I trust her? As no. much as she's changed, I don't think she's strong-willed enough to, like, shut down advances of, like, men around her. So we got to kill her.
Good point. Good point.
We got to marry Rhaenyra. That one's obvious. Loyal to the bone. Fun as hell. Love this lady. And we're going to fuck Miss Arya because good pillow talk. She used to be a sex worker. Yeah. Yeah.
Great reasons. Great reasons.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Would easily, you know what? I might shock you.
No. Oh, shock me, baby.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. No, I like, okay, there, something in me says fuck Rhaenyra.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, oh, this Rhaenyra. Wow. I'm
thinking of marriage as more of an investment. I might marry Alicent.
Oh,
isn't that crazy? I know. It's wild.
Is it all freezing over? What is happening?
I know. It's wild. It's wild. She was, if anything, the most devoted wife I have ever seen in my life.
You're not wrong.
To Viserys. So I'm like, if I catch staph infection, she's gonna be there to fucking bathe my ass, you know?
Give you a milk of the pop.
Right. Like, I don't get, like, you know, you could be a piece of shit to everybody else that doesn't fucking matter. We don't even need to see each other. But, you know, when I'm sickly, she will be there. I'm marrying Allison.
Wow.
I don't think the tides have turned. I know. Well, that doesn't mean that I like her anymore. That just means that I appreciate
Keep telling yourself that.
And I'm killing White Worm. I don't trust that bitch.
Wow. Okay. All right. And there you have it, folks. Season 2 has ended. A little underwhelming, if I'm being honest, but I still enjoyed the episode. We hope to see you in 2 years.
Well, okay, so I don't know the official...
Other things in between.
Right, I don't know the official like rollout of this, but we are apparently getting 6 more shows in Game of Thrones lore. I think... Actually, you know what? I think it's much more than that. We are getting a lot in live action. There are going to be some cartoon series that are coming out. We won't do those.
So we'll be on this podcast until we're 120.
Yeah.
Join us forever. Because the Emmy seasons take forever to make. Yeah.
But stay tuned for all Game of Thrones related Westerosi shits. We'll be there.
We'll see you on some other shows, babes.
Okay. Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.